Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. After two COVID-19-related delays in August and October, Wonder Woman 1984 finally opened in theaters on Christmas Day, breaking a pandemic-era opening weekend record with a gross of $16.7 million in North America. That number exceeded expectations, but still pales in comparison to the $103 million the first Wonder Woman made in its opening weekend 3 years ago. Part of the loss was due to the pandemic, but part of it was due to how Warner Brothers, the studio behind the film, responded to the pandemic with the announcement in early December that its entire 2021 film lineup would release simultaneously in theaters and HBO Max. Critics and supporters alike wonder what this portends for the future of movie theaters. Angelique Jackson is a film and media reporter for Variety. She's been following the news. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Warner Brothers announced that in early December. It kind of took everybody by surprise. It was a shock, including the theaters that it does business with.
Not just the theaters that it does business with, but the filmmakers who made the movies that were set to be released in those theaters in 2021. The announcement that the announcement that Warner Brothers' entire 2021 slate would debut both on HBO Max and in theaters was a massive surprise and quite frankly, a moment that changed everything in terms of what it meant to put movies into theaters, because even though it is supposedly a temporary change, of course, brought on by the pandemic, it stands to reason that this is a change that we will see ripple effects with and throughout the entertainment industry from here on out.
You know, I was lucky enough to be invited to be among 10 people who shared a 100-seat theater at a Marcus Theater on Christmas Day to see Wonder Woman. And I kept thinking, it was number one, it was just so great to be back in a theater. And number two, there are movies like Wonder Woman, like all of those, you know, blockbuster type of movies tend to be the ones you really need that theater experience. And when you talk about the filmmakers, that's what they're ticked off about.
Absolutely. So Christopher Nolan, of course, one of the most prominent filmmakers with Warner Brothers, they've had a relationship since 2002, kind of came out immediately against this decision, criticizing the idea that not only is it detrimental to the filmmakers and the people who work on films being able to make the money that they deserve throughout those deals, but also the idea that we're losing that theatrical experience. And I'm so glad that you were able to go to one of those private screenings, because that did make up a considerable amount of the gross from this box office. But it was different. I will say, I watched it at home on HBO Max, and it was a completely different experience seeing this movie that Patty Jenkins clearly imagined for the big screen, on a big enough screen, but a much smaller screen at home.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Avatar came out in 3D, and I went to see it three times in the theater. You can't get that. I mean, I suppose really rich people with 3D experiences at home can do that, but for most, you can't replicate it.
No, and the 3D industry is something that we're tracking now, and to see how especially that part of the business will be affected, because we really unfortunately don't know when theaters will reopen at a capacity where it will make sense to continue along with that model. I mean, you look at Tenet, for example. We spoke about Christopher Nolan a second ago. Mm-hmm. That 70% of theaters had reopened at that time in September when that film debuted. It only made $9 million at the box office. Now we have half that number with 34 to 35% of theaters open. And yes, we finally cracked that $10 million mark, but that's nowhere near what you need to make these $200 million movies. And then on top of it, those 3D costs. So I think that's kind of the next conversation to be had in the industry, is what will happen with that technology.
If you just joined us, we were talking about the future of the movie theater industry in light of the pandemic, of course, but also the news from Warner Brothers that their entire 2021 film slate would hit theaters and HBO Max simultaneously. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, it may seem on the surface like sort of a win-win for movie lovers, you know, and people who maybe can't afford to go to the theater, but HBO Max isn't free either, right?
No, HBO Max is not free either. And And while some people did have HBO Max through their general HBO subscriptions, they only had 12.6 million active users as of early December. So we're also kind of waiting to see how much it affected the subscriber base having movies like Wonder Woman come out into theaters. That was obviously the hope by Warner Media, was to boost the subscriber base. They're hoping to get to that more like 30 million user range. But I think that that is kind of the question. We've already kind of seen it a little bit with Disney Plus when Mulan went there earlier this year, or Beyonce's Black is King, which was not planned for a theatrical release, or Hamilton, which had been planned for a theatrical, but next year. So we've seen kind of ways in which these streaming services have tried to boost that subscriber base, but we just don't know how much that's going to happen yet with HBO, but it almost seems like it has to for people to see movies like Matrix and Dune and all these films they were dying to see in theaters. They're going to have to subscribe to see them if they want to see them at home.
And also, I'm wondering, you know, the point was made in something that I read that, you know, something like Wonder Woman or any of these any number of these movies slated for 2021 with Warner Brothers, they spend years in development, years in production and pre-production, and they do it with the intent of having it in the theater. And I'm wondering, is it putting a pause on the industry right now?
I think it is definitely drawing a lot of concern from the industry. When we spoke with Dune director Denis Villeneuve, that was a big part of his concern, was the idea that, you know, in his estimation, not only is Dune the best movie he's ever made, but a movie that he and his team put so much, and as you said, years of time, effort, and money into creating specifically for a theatrical experience. So it is a massive letdown to now have it be consumed on screens at home. And his concern also is, how does that lead to the possibility for more films like this to be made? Because if the studios aren't going to make a fraction of, you know, what it costs to just make the movie, let alone promote it, how can you financially say that you're going to continue to make films like this? And as we know, you know, Warner Brothers says that this is Warner Media, rather, says that this is only a one-year thing, and they've already actually said that their Mad Max Fury Road prequel, Furiosa, Wonder Woman 3, and so many more movies that are coming down the pipe, 2022, 2023, will be in theaters, because I think they're trying to, you know, make us feel better about it. We don't really know. We don't know how much this will actually change everything potentially forever.
Well, and I wonder about, will the theaters be there?
That's a major concern. AMC was already in dire straits and had filed earlier this month suggesting that they will be out of money in January. So it is a major concern when it's a major theater chain like AMC or Cinemark, these theater chains that were already struggling before this, let alone the smaller independent movie theaters. How will they survive?
The deals between studios and theaters can get pretty complicated. It's sort of like where you put the Coca-Cola and the Pepsi in the grocery store, right? But so how could Warner Brothers get away with this? I mean, they must have cut deals years in advance for these movies, or at least months.
That's kind of the tricky part about this, was that Warner Brothers Well, it's actually an even trickier part when it comes to the talent. That was the biggest concern by most of the filmmakers, or the filmmaking talent, the producers, the stars, were that a lot of their funds and the way they get paid comes after the movie comes out in theaters. And also that is true for crew members who need to be making their money as well. So that's been a big criticism, you know, by Nolan, by Denis Villeneuve, is that you guys kind of dropped this on us without any sort of warning of what's going to happen next. And Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar has spoken with Variety since then, saying that, you know, there have been many conversations now afterwards, but things like the reported $10 million that Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot were able to get in the negotiations to put Wonder Woman on HBO Max, those negotiations only happened with the two of them, right? And that team. It didn't happen with everybody else. So it's just kind of waiting to see how those things are going to play out. But it is kind of a retroactive conversation.
Any sense, I mean, just in general, because I want to get to a caller kind of early here, but any sense Angelique, about what 2020 and 2021, or let's just say 2020, was supposed to be in terms of a filmgoers? I love to go to the theater. I love to go with a friend. We watch all the Academy Award, potentials and all that stuff. What was it supposed to be like?
It's kind of wild because in some ways, like you kind of said earlier, there has been some sort of mutual benefit for viewers at home, because I do think there are a lot of smaller movies that got a lot more attention or have the chance of getting a lot more attention this year because we weren't so focused on the blockbusters. But the thing that makes me the saddest about what didn't happen in 2020 was the idea that this was supposed to be the year of the women filmmakers. We had five or six major blockbusters that were set to come out that were primarily starring women and directed by women, everything from Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman to also Mulan from Nikki Caro, which did come out, but we got Black Widow pushed back, which was with Kate Shortland, The Eternals, Chloe Zhao's movie. We did get Birds of Prey with Kathy Yen, but it was supposed to be just this miraculous year where we would have these blockbuster films starring women, made by women, crossing over these, you know, having $100 billion openings and potentially crossing into the $1 billion mark. So that, I think, was one of the biggest bummers for me as a reporter and as a movie lover to not get to see. But I am happy to see smaller films get some love.
Doug in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Doug.
Hi, good morning. I want to follow up with something Anne just said about Oscar contenders. Is there any thought being given, particularly with Warner Brothers movies, then about how will this decision affect their movies' potential for Oscar awards in artistically technical fields such as sound editing or cinematography?
Yeah, that's very interesting, because the Academy already changed this year to allow movies that were set to have a theatrical opening within the window, which lasts into, they actually extended the window into late February. They allowed those movies to be within consideration for the Academy Awards. And so even though they, mostly debuted at home or on streaming services, those movies are still in consideration for those technical awards, even though we're hearing them and seeing them in a different kind of space. So I think that you're going to still see the Wonder Woman's and even movies like The Old Guard, which is on Netflix, those movies are still going to be in consideration for those major technical awards and should still be in consideration for them in 2021
What is the relevance, Angelique, of being able to see how, in the newspapers and in the entertainment sections and obviously with Variety, but where you look at what the rankings are and what the best films are and reviews of films. There are fewer and fewer reviewers out there, but still something a lot of people read.
Well, I think that the thing that we're obviously noticing is that the box office, at least this year, obviously has not been a major factor in what gets the most attention. But I think that reviews, and even though there are fewer and fewer reviewers at traditional outlets, the prominence of online reviewers, I think, has definitely made a big, significant jump in the past few years. And especially now, because there are so many films that are coming out, you kind of have to, even though you're not seeing them in the traditional sense where you're going to the theater, seeing all the previews, or even seeing, commercials with previews in theaters, the same way. I think we've seen more of a push towards those online reviews as a better kind of target for what is out there and what is good out there.
And by the way, I even relished the previews.
I know. That is probably the thing that I miss the most, because yes, I still watch previews plenty on my computer and everything at home, but it is nice seeing that scroll of, honestly, at this point, five or six movies that are coming out. I actually have not been in a theater since probably February, yeah, maybe March. So it's been a really long time, and it is very sad and hard to not be in that experience. But it is really also cool and interesting to see the way in which we've all gotten so much savvier with the technology at home. But I do think people will go back to movie theaters, and clearly with the debut of Wonder Woman, we can see that they have.
Well, Angelique Jackson, I want to thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Angelique Jackson is a film and media reporter for Variety. We'll continue our conversation. We're going to talk about the future of movie theaters amid the pandemic going forward from it. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. In a year that has celebrated takeout food operations, pizza probably is the king and queen of COVID-19 dietary staples, but Columbus foodies always have supported their pizzerias. We hear from the author of a new book about Columbus and its pizza culture. That's tomorrow on All Sides with Ann Fisher from 10 to noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from thousands of listeners and from Franklin County Public Health, reminding citizens to spread love, not COVID, this holiday season by keeping celebrations intimate with those who live with you. Holiday safety ideas and videos available on Franklin County Public Health's YouTube channel.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. 2020's been a tough year for theaters, but the final week brought some relatively good news. Wonder Woman 1984 exceeded box office expectations, and the $900 billion stimulus package passed by Congress includes some help for movie theaters. Eric Brembeck is co-owner of Grandview Theater and Drafthouse and Studio 35 Cinema and Drafthouse in Clintonville. Both are family-owned and independently operated. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Morning, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Rolando Rodriguez is the chairman, president, and CEO of Marcus Theaters, the fourth largest cinema circuit in the United States. He was recently named chairman of the National Association of Theater Owners. Welcome to the show, Rolando.
Hello, Anne. Nice to be here.
After a rough start to the month, theaters finally got some good news. And with that in mind, how are Marcus Theaters doing?
You know, I think at this point in time, we're managing through what we would call the COVID time period, no different than any other theater exhibitor at this point in time. It's nice to see the audiences starting to pick up, the trust being built, in particular with all the safety programs that are in place to ensure that our customers and our associates are in a great place. And you got a couple of good movies that are out, between the Wonder Woman and certainly Croods that are leading the box office at this point in time.
But I was lucky enough to be there on Christmas Day for a private showing of Wonder Woman. And I kind of wondered, how do you keep an operation like that going? What's the equation at this point?
Well, look, I think that two things. I'm glad that you were there for a private showing. And in fact, you just spoke about the fact that we have Marcus Private Cinemas. And so we have that ability for also people that want to just come with their families or, dear friends that they feel safe around. Mm-hmm. So that program is helping out. But look, we're in a time period no different than most exhibitors in the U.S. that are, in essence, trying to get through a very difficult time period and lose less money than being closed. Now, that's a very challenging business model, if you think about it. But it really comes down to, how do you lose less money than being closed? And that gives us the ability to have our associates working, right? Mm-hmm. Engaging with our customers, keeping our brand and really the experience forward in the consumer's mind. And that's very important at this point.
Eric, what about you? Grandview Theater and Studio 35, beloved in the Columbus area for their independence and just their longevity. Does that kind of the same equation you're working with is stay open, make less, but stay open?
Yeah, I think you're going to lose the least, right? You lose more if you stay closed. We're fortunate. We own the buildings, so we can
you know, we're the landlords as well, so we don't have to necessarily pay for rent right now. We've been gotten a little creative with some of our programming. We used to do beer tastings in a movie every month. Now we decided to do a virtual beer tasting, and that was well received. So I think it's about being flexible and what you can do to entertain people. You know, we're as safe as we possibly can be, following all the protocols. But, you know, when the government tells you to stay home, you're just like, we're not going to close you, but we want you to stay home. So you just sort of got to get to summer is what we're trying to do.
I wanted to get both of your takes on what Warner Brothers did. Rolando Rodriguez, thoughts, concerns?
Yeah, look, I think that when the topic first was broached was basically specifically with just the Wonder Woman film. And so I think there was a little bit of a recognition at that point in time that we were dealing in a COVID type of an environment. And therefore, having a picture like Wonder Woman being released in a difficult time period where most of the states across the U.S. are closed, that they were taking a business chance with that. And so that was fairly, while not great news, it was somewhat understandable for that particular picture. I think the challenge came when they took their entire slate of 2021, which I think is, you know, I think that hasn't been well received by both the movie stars, producers, directors, and frankly, obviously, exhibitors. We all have, for the most part, a great deal of concern. I think that they might have rushed to this decision. They're good people. I think they try to do good things for the industry. I think that the biggest opportunity that they left on the table is a lack of trust of what would happen in 2021 associated with the vaccine rollout. And in particular, when would consumers be able to start coming back for the, you know, to the movies? I think in their mind, they felt that the COVID experience would last all the way through 2021. I think that in speaking with Eric and in many exhibitors out there, there is an absolute belief from our perspective that will probably be somewhere between March and June, that you will start seeing more of the movies coming out. And in fact, if you look at March, you already have multiple key films that have been scheduled for the month of March. And I think that's an outcome of what's happening with the vaccine rollout. And hopefully, while we don't believe that it'll be a switch that turns on by any means, and everybody will be rushing back to the theaters, it'll certainly be the start of building momentum again on a more sustainable basis with films. And so I think Warner's might have made a calculated mistake in taking their entire slate, where they probably might have been a little bit more cautious and said, let's do this COVID thing for a couple of months and let's see how the rest of the year plays out. And so that would be, that's been my advice and certainly continues to be my advice of what they're doing.
Yeah. And Eric Brembeck, what about you?
Well, they're going to do what they're going to do. And so I think it's a responsibility for us as community members, as far as we just need to make it a reason for people to go out and come to the theater. And that's what we do. So I'm not afraid of streaming. I am more afraid of a Friday night than a Saturday night, what's going on in the community. Mm. So that's our responsibility, is to make us in the conversation, right? Because we're not just a theater, we're a bar, we're a restaurant, we're all those types of things. So if we're creating the right events, the right environment, bring streaming on. I'm fine with it. I mean, I prefer not to happen, obviously, but I'm okay with it. You know, we have a couple screens. We don't have to fill out 20 toward 25. I do wish that they would continue to be good partners to us and listening. And I think they are. I think he's right about Warner Brothers. They may change their mind later, especially with Dune and some of the other movies that need to be exclusively in theaters. So,
yeah.
Right. I mean, so that, I think that's going to happen.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the future of the movie theater industry. And, of course, you know, I guess tangentially, the movie industry and how they make movies. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests are Eric Brembeck. He's co-owner of Grandview Theater and Drafthouse and Studio 35 Cinema and Drafthouse in Clintonville, and also Rolando Rodriguez. He is chairman, president, and CEO of Marcus Theaters. Again, the number is 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's talk about the federal government's stimulus package and the part of it that's targeted at movie theaters. Rolando Rodriguez, what does that mean to an outfit like Marcus?
Well, first of all, obviously, as the representative of NATO, the chairman, I would tell you that it's great news that they provided, some support, with Save Your Screens and Save Your Stages bill that just got passed to help, you know, many operators like Eric and frankly, a lot of smaller and mid-sized operators across the U.S. And so we're very thrilled about that. And our the NATO organization did a lot of work in supporting those efforts. That being said, over 50% of the industry did not get any support. And what I mean by that, if you were a public company or you were a theater company of a certain size, you would not participate in that. And so we continue to work on that because, believe me, it's extremely important to support the smaller exhibitors, the mid-sized exhibitors, but also the large exhibitors. And I think to Eric's point, I think it's important to note that, yes, streaming is not mutually exclusive. I think it's okay. I think streaming has a place. I think the importance of the theatrical experience is that we actually have a window of connecting with consumers on a social basis that cannot be replicated at home. And I don't know about all of you, but I'm tired of watching things at home at this point in time. I can't wait to get out of the house. And so, you know, there's a mainstream element to this with the help from government, right? How do you support these operators in mainstream America that really create that environment and support, by the way, retail and restaurants through the traffics that happen through their doors? So we're very pleased that obviously Congress and the Senate supported the bill and that that got signed, and it's helping a lot of our members. We're continue to work on seeing if we can get additional support for public companies. And in particular, almost 50%, over 50% of the industry did not get support on this. What, so for Marcus, very direct, we didn't get any help.
And what is your understanding, you know, as, you know, chairman of the National Association of Theater Owners about why that was, why they cut out publicly owned?
Look, I think that there's sometimes, and I don't want to knock the political system because they work very hard on this and they're supporting a lot of people. So let me start out by saying that. Mm-hmm. But second of all, I think that there is a misperception that somehow larger operators or public companies have accessibility to other financial means to get through. The realities are is that the cost of operating is equal to, and frankly, higher, you know, than other operators or smaller operators. So if you're a public company, you know, rest assured, our losses, you can look them up. It's public information. So it's not that we're hiding anywhere. And so there's a misperception that somehow, public companies can get through this. The misperception really is that we actually employ a lot of people and we support the community in a lot of ways, not only with the jobs, but we actually support them in philanthropic ways, right? That we help out the community. So when businesses do well, they support the communities that they serve. And unfortunately, I think, by the way, it wasn't just in our industry. This happened, if you look at all the support bills, pretty much kept larger organizations out of line and basically focused on how do we help the small operators and the mid-sized operators, which again, I support very much. But I think we left out a portion of the community that is also hurting deeply. And frankly, in our industry, we are at risk where there may be major operators that will be going into bankruptcy. And so that will have a rippling effect into that.
And what about you, Eric Brumbeck, from the independent point of view?
Well, it's interesting that he's correct. There needs to be assistance, I think, for larger chains, because if there isn't a marketplace for movies, then there won't be any product for small theaters to have movies. Like, they're not, Warner Brothers or Sony or Disney aren't going to make movies just for independents and small people who have one and two screens. We don't get the benefits of the breaks on tax or ticket splits already, but we need to have, you know, California or New York open so they'll release movies to everyone. So there is validity to the argument that larger companies do need the funds. Now, for us personally, this is going to get us, this will ensure our survival going forward. I mean, it'll just make the road less bumpy. It's still going to be bumpy, but it's just going to be less bumpy. Now, the question is, we would have survived without it, just because I think we're scrappy and creative and those types of things, but this will let us to rehire some people and just perpetuate, you know, you live in our community, so you understand what we're about. We'll be able to continue that going forward.
Let's see. Victoria in Newark. Hi, Victoria, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that a lot of us are not even able to experience what must be a important movie experience by going to the theater, just because we can never afford to go to the theater. I think I've been to 3 movies in 30 years, and that sounds crazy, but and I just see that evidently I'm missing quite a bit of what is to be the watching of a movie by not being able to experience it directly in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And evidently, I'm sure there's many, many more like me.
And HBO Max, for example, isn't an option either.
No, because if you can't afford the internet and you can't afford, number one, they want, you know, $75 a month for internet just by itself. And then if you want cable, you're another $75. Well, heck, you're way over 10% of your monthly income.
Yeah. And you just bring up a really great point, Victoria, is this digital divide we already have in this country, the haves and the have nots. Rolando Rodriguez, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, actually, Victoria, thank you for your question and certainly your thoughts. They're very much appreciated. You know, I would say a couple of things. It's too bad that we're not in New York. I would tell you that, you know, if you attend the Marcus Theater, you can come on Tuesdays. And if you're a member of our loyalty program, we give you the popcorn for free and the entry is $5 a person. So, we certainly have, you know, that program has been very well received, and it gives that opportunity for consumers to participate in the theatrical experience. Look, there is, you know, when you look at the streaming and the theatrical experience and what those windows are, right? Because I heard you and speaking with your prior guest, mm-hmm. What's interesting is it becomes about economics. If you think about the film studios, and Eric mentioned this, the question becomes, where do they get their greatest economic gains at this point in time, if you're a film studio? And that actually happens at the theatrical window, right? Because we actually charge, you know, for a ticket, and they tend to keep the higher portion of that distribution of that ticket, meaning the studios do. And then they actually, what they've done with this streaming of going day and date is they actually took away other options for folks like Victoria on other abilities within the life cycle of that product, meaning there's the premium video on demand, right? That comes out every once in a while. So like, for instance, in Croods, you can pay $20. And if you're sitting at home with your family, you know, you could watch that. Now, Victoria pointed it out. You gotta have a cable and you gotta have the internet. And so the price starts going, but you have premium video on demand. You have video on demand. You have electronic sale through, and then you have the networks, right, that eventually it makes to. And so, frankly, the studios have really just shrunk all those windows and took them away and gone to basically a theatrical and a streaming at the same time. And so that's really interesting because they've actually hurt their own financial models. Now, mm-hmm. why is that important to all of us? Mm-hmm. It's because eventually less movies will get made. And to Eric's point, you know, where will that distribution model actually take place? Now, I think the one thing that people haven't talked about streaming is, and think about what Victoria just shared, how many streaming services can you actually have, right? I mean, in any given environment, you could be 6-7 different streaming services. Which consumer base can actually afford 6 or 7 streaming services? It's an impossibility. So I think they're actually, there's going to be a consolidation that eventually happens even with streaming. And I think theatrical will continue to be very important. And to Victoria's point, we have to do a much better job of showing a better price value relationship for all consumers to be able to participate in this experience.
We're going to take a quick break. That is Rolando Rodriguez. He's chairman, president, and CEO of Marcus Theaters. He's also chairman of the National Association of Theater Owners. Also with us, Eric Brembeck. He's co-owner of Grandview Theater and Drafthouse and Studio 35 Cinema and Drafthouse in Clintonville. Have a question or comment about the future of movie theaters and movies? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the pandemic and how it's affected the movie business and the movie theater business. Still with us, Eric Brembeck. He's co-owner of Grandview Theater and Drafthouse and Studio 35 Cinema and Drafthouse in Clintonville. Both are family-owned and independently operated. Rolando Rodriguez is the chairman, president, and CEO of Marcus Theaters. That's the fourth largest cinema circuit in the United States. He was recently named chairman of the National Association of Theater Owners. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You know, I'm wondering what both of you think about what this does to sort of the culture of moviegoers and movie lovers. And, you know, right now it's usually, you know, panic in New York City trying to get to see all the movies that are going to get the Academy Award nominations. How does that even work this year? Eric Brembeck, are you tapping into that at all? And what are you hearing?
It's difficult. There aren't a lot of movies to, you know, that they're releasing to theaters. And even if they do, nobody's coming out. I mean, just nobody's going out in general, you know, to restaurants, to bars, to theaters, or anything like that. So it's just, it's difficult. No one's coming. Even this weekend, you know, 25-30% of what normally should have come out to see Wonder Woman. We're showing Promising Young Woman as well. You know, we're getting the movies that are available, but it doesn't mean anybody's coming. Like I said, when the city of Columbus tells you to stay home, but we're not going to close you. I mean, it's, what are you supposed to do? It's humorous. I think it's humorous. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, we just do what we got to do, you know? Right. I mean, just to be frank about it. Yeah.
Well, Rolando, what about you? I mean, what do you think? I mean, is there going to be an Academy Awards this year? How does that work?
Yeah, look, I think if you look at it, they moved the Academy Awards to April. First of all, right? So they moved it back, taking into consideration that, you know, they needed more time and they wanted to see whether the vaccine and, you know, what would the virus be doing and whether they could actually have an Academy, live Academy Award, right? And how will that go? And as you know, just about every show and every film festival has been moved into almost a virtual environment, you know, for this year. And frankly, somewhat questionable in the first part of the year. As an industry, our annual convention was moved to August you know, of this year. And frankly, just because making sure that our, you know, our contingencies could actually participate and see where things would be at. And they're all struggling financially at this point in time. So look, I think there'll be an Academy Award? The answer is yes. In what form will that be? Will it be a live or virtual? I hope it's live. I hope that we've reached a stage in our country where people feel a little bit more comfortable. And frankly, I think if it does, and if it's live, I think it will contribute quite a bit into the consumer psyche of getting back out, and in particular, going to the movies. Look, we're about a social experience. We are about people being together. And so they have to feel safe. They have to have, to Eric's point, the help of the government saying it's safe, right? So if the states and the cities say it's safe, and on top of that, we're doing a great job, like Eric is, I'm sure, in his theaters, and we are at ours, with our safety protocols to ensure that people are protected, to ensure that all of the regulatory aspects are being followed, then we can help build that consumer confidence. We see 2021 as a rebuilding year. I would say the same thing for the Academy Awards. Unfortunately, there aren't many movies that I can think of in 2020. It's hard to tell how competitive that environment is going to be. Right?
Exactly.
And so it's a little challenging for every industry.
Let's see. Dan in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I just wanted to give a lot of kudos to Eric and his team over at Studio and Grandview Theater. I think that they have handled this situation over the last 9-10 months, which is such poise and grace and so much responsibility. And I think, outside of going to the grocery store and just sort of the normal essential places, like Grandview Theater and Studio 35 are like the only places I have personally gone and I feel comfortable with, because they've just taken such care. And I just like give them a ton of kudos and make a plug to the entire Central Ohio community that, support these real treasures of Columbus. Thanks.
Yeah. Dan, before I let you go, though, tell me, what is the experience like when you go and do Studio 35 or Grandview? What's different about it?
Well, probably similar, and I can't really speak to a lot of other places, but like they're spacing people apart. They're not like crowded bars. There's plenty of room between, you know, myself or my party and another party. As far as being in the theater itself, you have to book all the tickets online and you're spaced out responsibly. Everybody's wearing masks. If somebody enters a patron enters the venue without a mask, you know, the staff is quick to like friendly and courteously remind them to put on a mask. Mm-hmm. It just feels, you know, it feels incredibly safe and comfortable. And plus it's just a fun, warm environment, as it always has been.
Of course, yeah, as always. Dan, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Joanne in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I heard a lady talk about she's been to 3 movies in 30 years or something. I have, for years and years and years, I've gone once a week to a movie, my friends and I and my husband and I. And so obviously I miss this desperately. I'm a member of the Drexel Theater, and the one thing they have done is they've had movies that we could watch online. They're through another organization, but the money, it'd be like $12.95, and some of the money goes back to the Drexel Theater. So that they haven't had any blockbusters, you know, there are movies that you've never heard of before, mm-hmm. but some have been very interesting. But I, for one, want to get back to the going once a week to the movies.
I hear you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I miss it desperately. Just hope this all works out. But, I mean, I'm a senior citizen, so I have to be very careful. But just wanted to let you know, there's a lot of us out there that go on a regular basis to movies.
Joanne, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I wonder from both of you, and I'll start with you, Eric Brembeck, do you see the pandemic / the Warner Brothers decision, or such as it is, so far for 2021 in any way permanently changing the business? Do you see any lingering impacts on it? Yeah. What?
Absolutely. Yeah. The window is that there always was used to be an exclusivity of when movies were at movie theaters, right? So it used to be 6 months and 90 days. It's going to be shrunk. Like Universal has a deal with certain chains that after 17 days, or it doesn't reach certain revenues, they can go streaming. So yes, it's going to happen. Disney's doing it. So it's going to change that experience. But the objective, I think, of any movie theater, whether it's a chain or an independent, you have to make a reason why people want to go out to a movie theater. And if you continue to listen to customers, pay attention to what they want to do, it's always going to be sitting in your basement. Always. It's just like, why do you go to a restaurant, right? You can buy a beer so much cheaper than at the grocery store than going to a bar. That's the challenge, and that's the responsibility any theater has if you want to stay in business. Nobody owes us anything. You have to be compelling. And that's what I believe. And NATO was able, they came out with this cinema safe and all these protocols and everything that you're supposed to do to be open. And theaters that sign on to this, it is safe. What's crazy about going to a movie theater is there's no talking. You're all facing the same direction. You have every other row. It is as safe as it possibly can be, right? Mm. And those things I think are going to continue. I mean, this may have, in a weird way, made everybody be better, I think. I don't know. I mean, that's...
I can see myself continuing to wear masks in a theater going forward just to... I mean, why not?
Right.
Except
why
when
not?
I'm smashing popcorn into my face. But other than that, Rolando Rodriguez, what do you think about kind of the future and how this year of unlike any other year any of us have experienced will impact it?
Look, I think that Eric hit on a couple of points, and I'll reiterate and add a little bit to it. Yes, from the distribution aspect, I think that the industry will change. One, what will that window be? And I have to tell you, whatever that window becomes, it still continues to be very important. And while certainly theatrical and streaming are not necessarily mutually exclusive, name me the last streaming movie that just came straight to streaming that you talk about at any conversation. And I would challenge you that you probably won't be able to name any for the most part. You're always going to talk about the ones that had that red carpet, the theatrical experience, to Eric's point, it's a different environment. Do we need to make it better? Absolutely we do. And so it gave me great joy to listen to that customer talking about Eric's experience at his theater, because all of us make that experience a unique outing. So that piece of it will change. We think it'll be shorter. We'll see how short that is. To your point on the personal side, what will happen with consumers themselves and what do we do about that? The wearing of the mask, I would say, I agree with you, Ann, that probably will continue for a while. But I think, look, there's almost simplistic elements that are part of the cinema safe that Eric pointed out. And in our case, we also in our company embellish it with the STAR program. But it talks about that 6-foot spacing. It talks about what the spacing is in the auditorium. The fact that consumers don't even speak and we're actually a safer environment than most consumer-facing businesses in America. But one of the items, and in its most simplistic, I think hand sanitizers will stay around forever, right? I mean, just think about that, where that used to be unique to find hand sanitizer somewhere. I think those are going to remain in place. I think the focus of any consumer-facing business is going to have to be to stay very close in keeping their environment super clean and sanitized. Those would be some of the elements that I would mention.
And distancing?
I think, look, my hope is that, very frankly, that goes away. And hopefully with the general feeling of the vaccine working and the treatments working and hopefully all of us getting healthy. Look, I think that the theatrical model, no different than all entertainment models. Think about this. We don't work You know, our concept right now is to make sure that we are losing less money. And by the way, like Eric, we own most of our theaters. But remember, there's still utility costs. There's payroll costs. There's, you know, film costs. There's food costs. There's all of those other elements that we have to deal with. And those have to work at a certain occupancy level that you can fill. You know, this week that we're in right now, Ann, used to be the biggest week of the year. And to Eric's point, it's doing about 20 to 25% of the business of last year. That's not good for our industry.
Well, Rolando Rodriguez, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann.
Rolando Rodriguez is chairman, president, and CEO of Marcus Theaters. He's also chairman of the National Association of Theater Owners. And also Eric Brenbeck, co-owner of Grandview Theater and Drafthouse and Studio 35 Cinema and Drafthouse in Clintonville. Eric, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you very much, Ann. Have a great day.
You too. And everybody else, thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.